So what's nice is we're in the middle of water now with it raining, so we might as well talk about water, right, Harold?
Sure.
I'd like to introduce to you Harold Waters, and we got him, literally snuck him out of the field here a little bit to talk about water quality's effect on production agriculture. So, wow. Harold, we'll get you mic'd up here, then I think we could go a lot of different ways with this. So, and he's got, I mean, you and Ian could have a competition on who's writing I can't read here. Amazing. You guys write all in shorthand. This is, here, we'll.
They'll double check. Ah, there it's on. Somebody in the back's running equipment. So, as far as my writing goes, there's only one person in the world who can read my writing. That's my former secretary. Because I can't read it either. I have no idea how she was able to make something out of my chicken scratching. But
it's amazing here.
This is what I do when I don't have my reading glasses on. Because it's out of focus.
Okay, so let's talk water quality. No secret, we're finishing up here, well, in a week with all the fertilizer certification and all that. That's going on across the state, have been for the last 3 years. So let's talk about water quality. And I guess, Harold, we can go 100 different ways. So
I've got several notes, and you, whenever I get off a little bit, you can pull me back with a question or comment,
great.
Whatever. So the other thing I've learned today is ag economists like to sit and talk. I work for OSU Extension, and I, as an agronomist, whatever, I like to move around. So I'll try and stay right here, but I do like to move around. So agriculture and water quality is kind of how I like to think about it. And we've been doing this, as you said, the Ohio Department of Agriculture serving our legislature and the citizens of the state of Ohio is trying to implement two laws that we have here within Ohio. Senate Bill 150, which was passed in 2014, and Senate Bill 1 in 2015. As I tell my farmer friends, the fact that it's Senate Bill 1 is relating to water quality, fertilizer and nutrient management means it's a high priority. Senate Bill 150, actually it should have probably been Senate Bill 489 from 2013, whatever, but anyway, it ended up being Senate Bill 150 in 2014. But like I said, 2015, Senate Bill 1 was about manure application, nutrient management, and Northwest Ohio, those watershed that goes into Lake Erie. So anyway, so we've got those, and Ohio Department of Agriculture job is, and I work for the Ohio State University, so Ohio Department of Agriculture job is to implement those laws, those regulations. And what they put together was that farmers who apply fertilizer in Ohio to more than 50 acres should be certified to apply that fertilizer. And that's all it was. They have to be certified. And that means you can still do it wrong, you can still waste your money and over-apply. You could even be stupid and maybe under-apply, but all you had to do was you would get certified to apply that fertilizer, and you would make a record of it. And it's, I think some of our farmers, some of even myself, I occasionally forget, oh yeah, that record keeping's in there. But still, as long as you keep a record, you can still do it wrong if you wish. So that was 2014, Senate Bill 150. 2015, Senate Bill 1 is a restriction law. It says you shall not. The other one says you can do whatever you want, just keep a record. Senate Bill 1, 2015, says that if you apply fertilizer or manure in these, I think, parts of 27 counties in Northwest Ohio that are in the part of the watershed that runs into Western Lake Erie Basin, you shall not apply fertilizer or manure when it's too wet to do that or if the ground's frozen. And honestly, from an agronomic standpoint, I don't want them to do that anyway. I mean, number one, you're going to have a compaction if you're out there on wet ground. Number two, if the ground is frozen, it doesn't get in the soil. And we know agronomically that we must get our fertilizer in contact with the soil in order to keep it in place. And so we've been schooling farmers for a long time not to do those practices, but they're now part of that law. The other part of that second law, that Senate Bill 1, is that if you apply manure in the rest of the state of Ohio from a contract livestock operation, I'll put it in those terms and look at ODA for the exact definition, but that law says then you must be certified there if you're applying manures. Okay. It doesn't say, again, you can't do it wrong or whatever else. It just says that you have to be certified for that. So that's what the two laws are. And there's actually a third law that affects this. I think it's also passed in 2015. It's the budget bill. And that's where they moved the soil and water offices that you have in each one of your counties from the Department of Natural Resources to the Ohio Department of Agriculture. And they did that because, in my mind, that's just the important role that they can play, is they help a farmer put together a nutrient management plan on how to handle their nutrients. And a discussion I've had with farmers over the last three, actually it's more like 5 years that Greg and I have been doing some of this training. Mm-hmm. It just finally, we have laws in place that we had to actually do it officially. But it is real good to sit down with a trusted advisor, and I put it in those terms, but sit down with a trusted advisor and kind of look at your soil tests, look at your crop needs, look at your crop yield goals, and put together really a nutrient management plan so you can make best use of those nutrients economically, certainly, but also agronomically. And we have a number of folks we have found as we've been doing these training events over the last several years that they're over-applying fertilizer. That's an economic concern to me as an agronomist, even.
And especially with Barry Ward was here earlier today talking about the enterprise budgets for 2018 and not a lot of wiggle room in there. So the more you can pay attention to inputs and maybe save some money because you're not over-applying or maybe you're under-applying and just not getting the yield goal that you potentially could. So pretty important to look at those factors.
So that brings the story of mine. A friend of mine lives just north here in Delaware County, and I was riding in the combine with him a couple of years ago, and we were talking about soil testing. So I says, okay, how do you do soil testing? He goes, grid sample every acre. Okay, and what's your grid size? He goes, 1 acre. I go, man, that's small. I said, can you justify that economically? And he goes, yes, because he knew. pH is his first concern, and he could find it much more easily with 1 acre grids. And the pH affects availability of all of our other nutrients, micros as well as majors. And so he was right. It's important. Now, I told him maybe not to do it as often as he did, but I still think it's a good thing to do. And he told me economically he felt he can justify that. The other thing was he knew which areas of his field had high levels of nutrients. Not just pH, which is a concern, of course, but he has areas, and he's got probably 3 or 4 farms he's pulled together to make what he farms today. Some of them, or all of them, rather, had livestock in the past. Mm-hmm. So at some point on those farms, he's got high P and K levels. No fertilizer there. So he's saving money, quite honestly. And I think that's an important part of that. The plan is that you do soil test, certainly on a regular basis, every 2, 3, 4 years at the maximum. Keep an eye on those nutrient levels. I think this year, going into next year's corn price, next year's soybean price, we'll see, maybe not quite as bad, it would behoove us to know where we don't need to apply fertilizer. The other thing, agronomically and economically, if you have low soil testing levels, phosphorus, yes, but in particular potassium, we need to apply fertilizer to those low testing areas because economically, your yield's going to go down if you don't do it. Mm-hmm. And so it's targeting. And so that's part of what we've been teaching with our fertilizer certification. And those of you who want more, I've got a 4-hour fertility course that I'd really like to be doing instead of nutrient management stuff, or rather water quality stuff.
Maybe I should ask, this is water quality. How are we doing on water quality, Harold?
So
changing.
So a couple of things we've done, and this is a slow process. We didn't get Lake Erie in a mess. We didn't get the Ohio River into a mess overnight.
Right.
There are some folks in the state who think we should have already made some changes to Lake Erie, already should have made the changes to the Ohio River. It doesn't work that fast. Right. Soil's a big sponge, a big buffer, whatever. What we put in slowly comes back out, and what we put on, continue to put on, actually goes still in. So it's a slow process. The first step was to get these farmers certified, and we're in around 17,000 or so certified farmers in the state of Ohio right now, and they or may not have known it, but the certification is the first step. Next is we recertify them over time. And so we will bring those same farmers back in, explain to them better practices to reduce the nutrient losses. And we'll have economics in there as well to talk about how we can benefit that from a crop yield standpoint, but also a dollars in your pocket standpoint. So we're just 3 years in to the startup.
And that's 3 years in, and one of the Senate bill is set to sunset, correct? Are there going to be
so yes and no. So what the Senate Bill 150 said was, by September 30th of 2017, this month, as you said, we will get everybody certified. I don't think we've got everybody certified yet, but we will continue to do that training. I think we've got a significant portion of the acres out here. I don't know if we have every farmer, but we certainly have a significant portion of the acres. So it's, while it may be a sunset, it's not a sunset. We'll continue to do that training. We have new young farmers. I'm hoping we have new young farmers going forward, and so we'll continue to train them, and then we'll catch those few that we didn't see early on, and we'll get them trained as well. There is also, starting this fall, there will be an exam process, probably going to be toward December, January, somewhere in there. Typically, farmers will sit down long enough to talk in January, February, March, so by then we'll have an exam, but no, not we. Ohio Department of Agriculture, sure. We have an exam in place where if you are not certified yet, you can get an exam. And then the other side of your question is, have we changed things in Ohio River? Have we changed things in Lake Erie?
How are we doing on water quality? Do you start to see the ship turning, or is this?
So we're still trying to figure out why this is happening, and we're doing that for a couple standpoints. We're doing on-farm, in-field collection of data, water coming off those fields to see what's in it and why is it there. And then on a larger watershed basis, we're also collecting data. On a larger watershed basis, my guess is at this point, no, we haven't changed things very much. Again, it's a slow process. On a smaller watershed basis, we are learning some practices that will help reduce the loss. Phosphorus in particular, we know that if you can get in contact with the soil, the likelihood of that loss goes down dramatically. The problem, at least as agronomists see it, is that we have gotten to the point where we have very large farms. We broadcast our applier fertilizer, and I'll use my neighbor's example. It'll may lay out there from October until the next March when they finally do some tillage to incorporate it. That period is the risk when it doesn't have that incorporation. Nitrogen, on the other hand, gets incorporated in the soil pretty quickly, but it moves rapidly with water.
Right.
So it goes down and out the profile. We need to get closer on rates for nitrogen. And that, again, economically concerned. We estimate we're losing, on average, about maybe 2 pounds of phosphorus per acre in Ohio soils. That's whether in your Lake Erie Basin or you're in Scioto in the southern part. Doesn't matter. We're all about the same. Nitrogen, on the other hand, it's about 30 pounds per acre. So, you know, $12, $15 an acre there. If we could get closer to having the right amount of nitrogen there, which economically it's going to help us a lot.
I was going to say, economically, with the way the budgets are, $10 to $15 is a big chunk of change when you spread that over thousands of acres.
And so we'll kind of direct you towards some of our recommendations. Current recommendations in Ohio for phosphorus, potassium, micronutrients, we're still using the tri-state fertilizer recommendations, which is a publication from 1995. We have all the tables in our fertilizer applicator certification training manuals. We put those tables in here. For nitrogen, our current recommendations are actually web-based and based at Iowa State, but we have a Midwest corn nitrogen management group, if you want to think of it in those terms, and our recommendations for Ohio are based on economics rather than yield goals, which is what it was in the past. From my work that I've done with crop sensors, NDVI sensors in particular, it looks like we can fine-hone that a little bit more. Still use those economics as our basis, but make some modifications during the crop season, during the crop growing season, when we actually modify our rates a little bit.
Okay.
Some of the work that I know one consultant's done here in Central Ohio area, he's saving about 40 pounds of nitrogen per acre with his growers over what they might have done in the past. My numbers show that I can probably save, well, it depends. I've got some situations where I actually apply more nitrogen. Think about this year with our nitrogen loss.
The losses.
Mm-hmm. I've got other situations where I'm likely to apply 80 pounds less nitrogen per acre and still get
Still get the same yield.
Yeah. This year in particular, 2017, we're making nitrogen. Soil mineralization, which is where our microbial activity breaks down the organic matter, breaks down fodder, things like that. We've had a really great year this year for producing nitrogen. But that means if you put on 200 plus pounds of nitrogen, we made another 100 pounds of nitrogen. Our corn crop needs 100 pounds of nitrogen. So that's that potential loss. And so that ends up coming out next spring, next summer, next fall.
So any other future things that we need to know about as far as the water quality legislation that's coming up as we go forward?
I'm not a politician.
You're not a So you're not going to even try to wiggle around that one?
So it's been interesting. I actually have a radio interview here after this session. So there are some folks who are ready to put the hammer down right now. There has been suggestions. We plug up all the tile, because if nitrogen goes away through the tile, if phosphorus goes away through the tile, let's stop them up, and we don't have to worry about it loss. Guess what? They'll still get there. They just won't necessarily go through the tile. And on and on and on. So there's other thoughts out there. The important thing, and maybe this is what my next interview is about, there is no magic bullet that will stop these losses. Agriculture is a leaky system, and as a result, we need to manage the leaks, but legislation will not manage the leaks.
So it's probably pretty important for folks out around the state to be talking to their legislators and getting them out on the farms and talking and the impact that some of these things that might be happening out there.
So we have a number of edge of field sites around the state, one next door, just across the field to the east at Bex. But there's a number of them scattered from here north toward Lake Erie, including in the Grand Lake St. Mary's area, which is not a part of the Lake Erie weather system. Get people out, take a look at those, listen to Kevin King talk. I'm sure Kevin's speaking somewhere here in the next week or two or last week or so. And then, yes, take your legislators with you when you go to those meetings. This is maybe, I don't know how much more time I have, but brings up...
We're in the home stretch here, Harold.
So Robin Wilson, School of Natural Resources here at Ohio State University, she's been surveying farmers for, who knows, the last 5 years or so, asking them about their attitudes on nutrient management.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing she asks is, are farmers willing to modify their systems to reduce nutrient loss? Overwhelmingly, yes. Brent Sonjan, another ag economist, FAEDES, he has said that with incentives, farmers are willing to do what should be done. Robin thinks that a mental incentive is often enough. Brent thinks it needs to be financial or regulatory, maybe be the other direction. But incentives of one way or another, and those can be mental or heartfelt, whatever, they are willing to change their behavior even more so. Part of what we don't know is the best thing to do because, as I said, there's no silver bullet, no magic wand.
Right.
It's going to take a suite of things to really move things in the right direction.
Great. So appreciate you taking the time. I know you have another interview to do here and a wet day here.
I brought my raincoat.
So you're good to go. So, Harold, thank you for stopping in and talking about water quality. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.